listening to the Breakthrough Podcast. We hope you are encouraged by the message. Be sure to stick around for more at the end.
How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good? See what? I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach after that. I mean, I think we just had church. What do y'all think? You know, when the master shows up, sometimes you just get quiet. But, you know, he's kind of laid a word on my heart. And it's just funny, guys, how God works. Because I'm actually planning a back-to-school bash for my youth group. I'm a youth pastor at Cook's Chapel, Sidon 16, real small country church. And it was just kind of on my heart about getting Scott's band to worship for us. They did last year. This will be our second annual year in doing that. And as soon as I was thinking that, I get a text from Scott. And he's like, hey, man, can you, be the speaker at our back-to-school bash? And it's just amazing as we go on in confirmations of God, how confirming our God is. When we walk this walk, guys, God is always there. He knows every little detail of your life. Every little situation, okay? Before I pray, I'm just going to give you a little background about myself. I'm from Meridian originally. I'm a personal trainer at PAC, Philadelphia Athletic Club. I've been there for about 4 years, married, and I got four boys at the house. So I like to tell people that my wife actually swims in testosterone. You know, God bless her, so y'all need to pray for her. But, guys, I have, and I'm kind of hoarse today. Woke up yesterday with a sinus drainage and all that kind of stuff. So I've really been praying for my voice to hold up. And I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know that when I tell my testimony, when I preach, I'm going to get fired up, okay? I know I'm a big guy, you know, and I may break this podium in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? I may come out there and headbutt one of y'all in Jesus' name. Is that cool? Y'all cool with that? Because we serve the King, baby. We don't serve no pansy God. Y'all feel me? Okay? And I'm saying that with respect and reverence. But I was saved and set free from a life of drug and alcohol about 5 years ago at a place called Righteous Oaks in Chunky, Mississippi. And I tell you what, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I'm so humbled every time I'm able to come speak. And God, I pray these young people would just see you through me. It's not about me. I'm just a vessel. I just empty myself. Speak the words through through my mouth that you want us to hear. And Father, we just thank you for who you are and your spirit being here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, guys, I grew up in church. My dad actually at one time was a Baptist minister in college, and he felt that the Lord was calling him into teaching. And he was a teacher at MCC for 38 years. And God has used him mightily in the classroom. And now that he's retired, he's actually the senior deacon at his church. I grew up in Episcopalian church, which is kind of like Catholic. I like to call it Catholic light, you know. It's not quite as strict on Episcopal priests can marry. You don't confess sins. But you know what? It doesn't matter denominations, guys. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, you know, whatever, Presbyterian. What matters is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what matters. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he separated all barriers. You know, in the Word it talks about he separated Jew and Gentile. And I like to read it now, and I said, you know what? He separated all denominations, you know. And another thing, too, I'm going to bounce around a lot. I'm a little ADD, okay? But I promise the Holy Spirit will pull it all together. I may be talking about my past, and I'll go here, then I'll go to the Word, so let's just let the Holy Spirit have his way, you know. But it's not about, you know, we get caught up sometimes. And you know what? You worship that way. This church worships that way. And we have to remember who we're worshiping. And we got to agree, guys, on the main things. Because what is church if it does not make a difference in your life? What is it if we come to youth group every Wednesday night and every Sunday and we don't see a change in our life and we don't take what we get here and we take it out into the world? Because there are lost souls out there. There are people who need hope. There are people who need Jesus. And y'all can reach them. You know, every day that we go into life, young people, it is a mission field. Everywhere you go, you carry the hope of Jesus Christ if you're saved here tonight. And if you're not saved here tonight and the Holy Spirit works on you, I pray that you would allow him to convict you and surrender your life to Christ. You know, but we carry that hope, you know. And what I want to talk about now, I'm going to go to the word here, Ephesians 1, verse 17. I don't know if y'all have any Bibles with you, but if you do, you're mighty welcome to open them. Ephesians 1, verse 15, okay? And just the songs that we heard tonight just talked about the power of Christ. I pray that you would open our eyes. There was one song I think that they played that opened our eyes, Jesus. Open our eyes to your presence so we can see you for who you are. And that's my prayer in my life and my prayer tonight, that we would be able to see Jesus for who he is. Because we have a lot of things that come against us. We have religion, denominations. We have man-made doctrine. And we have beliefs of men that keep us away from the authentic power of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about a relationship, a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with a living God. And that's what y'all are looking for. Y'all not looking for rules and regulations. Especially young men, you're looking for power. I was looking for power. That's why we got so many people in gangs. Because there's an acceptance and there's a power where the church is failing. The church in the past have been given doctrine and religion. And now I just believe more than ever that right now that Christ wants to raise up a generation of young warriors. And y'all are it. Y'all are it. Y'all are that generation that's going to reach this world. You know, I believe right now that the Holy Spirit is really pouring himself out. I see it, you know. And I believe that young people are hungry for the truth. But let's go to the word right here, and I want us to talk about and read. This is a prayer that Paul had to the Ephesians. And he was praying. They were already saved. They had already come to know Jesus. But he was praying that they would understand that incredible power on the inside of them. That power that we can all tap into. But we got to know we have that power first. And Paul says in verse 15, I'll go there first. He says, therefore, I also, Noxipater, youth, have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I'm sure your youth pastor, Scott Lowry, prays for each one of y'all every day. I know he prays for this youth group. God is blessing this youth group. It's amazing what God has allowed, what God is doing through here. I mean, it's such a blessing to come here and be able to worship the way we're worshiping. But then Paul goes on to say, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all glory, may give you. God so loved the world, he gave. God's a giver. God always expresses his love. And when we're in Christ, our actions need to reflect our beliefs. You know, God didn't just save us and set us free for us to just be soaked and sour. You know, he saved us for a purpose. And that purpose is what that guy said earlier on this video, and that's to spread the gospel. That's to proclaim the gospel everywhere you go. But Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. Young people, y'all are saints. I'm looking at heirs to the throne. I'm looking sons and daughters of the king. See, the devil wants to lie to us. We got everything. God created this world for us. You know, the devil wants to say, you know what, being a Christian, you know, oh man, it's tough and this and that, and it's going to be hard. Being a Christian is impossible without the Holy Spirit. I can't save myself, and I can't walk this Christian life without my Savior. But y'all are heirs to the throne. Y'all are heirs to the throne, which means that everything Christ has, you have. Christ had peace. Christ had power. Christ had joy. Christ had love. And nowhere in the Bible did Jesus go around and say, you know what? Have some leprosy. You need to learn some humility. Okay? Let me talk about that, what I just said, because that may have been whoop, kind of up there. Okay? Religion says, well, you know, maybe, you know, Sister so-and-so said that I may be sick because, you know, I've got some sin in my life and God's trying to teach me patience. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Wherever Jesus went, he healed. Wherever he went, he set free. Wherever he went, he was always healing people and doing good. And that's the gospel. That's the good stuff. That's what we have, you know. But we got to know what we have. Just like when you go to school, and you get your books, You know, you got to study to learn. When you go to medical school, you have to study. You have to practice medicine. It's so much more than just being saved. Growing in this word, guys. You know, putting this word in your heart. Because when you start putting this word in your heart, and you start being led by the Spirit, and you start feeding your spirit, the spirit man grows stronger, and it takes over every area of your life. And that's God's ultimate goal, is to make and conform each one of you to the image of Christ. And guys, the more of this you get in this, the more of the abundant life you have. John 10:10 says, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And God wants us to have the abundant life. It says in verse 18, excuse me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? And we sang about that tonight. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We sang about that power, that who he is. All right, towards us who believe. The only parts in this Bible that work for you are the parts that you believe. Our faith activates grace. Our faith activates power. According to the working of his mighty power. That power works when we release our faith by believing God's word and stepping out on faith. And then it says, the same power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Man, y'all been raised from the dead. Y'all have been raised from the dead for those who have received Christ tonight. The Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, like he said up there, 3 days he was in that tomb, that same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, guys, is in you. You know, that same Spirit that saved us is the same Spirit that we got allowed to work on the inside of us. You know, because our part is to be co-partners with God in this thing. You know, everything inside of us from the beginning between Adam and Eve, right? We want to run from God. And Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, where they did a sin and Adam started running. And, you know, like he was going to get away from God. You ever tried to do that, man? Try to run away from God? I've learned one thing in life. I'm 42 years old. Wherever I go, there I am. You know, I've learned that wherever I go, there I am. So I can't get away from God. And God was running after Adam, you know. And we have those parts in our life. Is that better? I may be too loud now. We have those parts in our life that we want to keep away from God. And we try to fix those problems ourselves. We try to do those things ourselves. And that's our human nature. And what God wants us to do is understand that power that saved you is a power that can fix any situation in your life. But what we have to do, we have to come to the light with that situation. And not hide from God, but just come to him. And say, God, this is a situation. Because, you know, he already knows. He already knows that situation you're going through. He already knows that struggle, guys, you're going through. He already knows those temptations. You know, we can't hide it from him. But I think sometimes as Christians that we try to walk out ourselves in our own strength. And we can't do it. And he says that which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly realms. Verse 21 says, far above all principality. That's what we just sang in Holy, Holy, Holy. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named only in this age but in the world to come. Which means that power inside of y'all, that power of Christ on the inside of you is greater than anything in this world. That we have got authority over the devil. We have got dominion over the devil. That there is, he is totally under our feet as long as we remain in Christ. You know? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? Once you realize what you have, you won't want to go back to what you have. But you got to realize what you have. You got to realize that power on the inside of you. That power that we are in a relationship with Christ. So when God raised Jesus from the dead, when we accepted Christ into our heart, we have been raised in the dead, and y'all are seated in heavenly places right now with Jesus Christ. Say what, Rich? Ephesians 2:6 says, and God has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus. See, that's the struggle of the Christian life, guys, is we try to work, we try to do it. And God wants us to rest. He wants to rest in the victory that was made on that cross 2,000 years ago. He wants us to know to rely upon Him and to know that everything you need in life has been provided for you. To rest in that and rest in His peace. Verse 8 says, it's for by grace you have been saved. Through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. You know, it's the grace, guys, that saves us. I mean, I wasn't even looking for God. I wasn't even looking for God in my life. The only thing I was looking for was to stop hurting. I was looking to get out of the consequences I had got from the choices that I had made, you know. I wasn't looking for God. Man, I'll just be honest with y'all. 5 years, if you'd have mentioned God, I would have spit in your face. I had that much anger inside of me because I felt that God felt about me the way I felt about myself. But He didn't. And verse 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Just said that. And not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship. We are created for a purpose, recreated in Christ. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. That kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, guys, about the fact that we've been saved for a purpose, that God recreated us. You know, He gave us a new DNA. He gave His Spirit on the inside of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For those right now in this church, I want to let you know, if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a new creature. You are a new being, and you are totally righteous. You are totally holy, and you are totally forgiven in your spirit. The same spirit that Jesus had is the same spirit you have inside of you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He made Him He knew no sin, Jesus, to become the offering for our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Just, Rich, who you think you are? I mean, I'm righteous in Christ. You got an attitude? No, I ain't got an attitude. I'm just telling you what God said about me. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I'm holy. So what we got to do, guys, once we receive Christ, we're a three-part being. We're spirit, soul, and body. You got a spirit on the inside. Your fleshly body is your body, and you have a soul. Your soul is your mind, emotions, and will. That makes up who you are. So what we got to do, we got to conform our mind, emotions, and will, our soul, to the Spirit. And the way we do that is we read the Word of God. Man, we feast on this Word, and we pour this Word into our heart, and we start seeing miracles happen in our life, like I'm seeing in this youth group. Man, I heard when, not too long ago, there was like 4 or 5 people here, you know? A year and a half, 2 years later, God is mighty, is doing a mighty move in here. And it's not about Scott. It's not about his band. It's not about y'all. It's about that y'all are worshiping God and honoring God. And y'all are exalted Him. And where we exalt Jesus, man, there is multiplication. There is freedom. You know, there is that. I'm going to kind of go back on a little testimony. I'm not going to be too long-winded tonight because I'm kind of... throat's kind of giving out on me. But I told you guys that I was born in church. I was, raised in church. I was an only child. I was pretty spoiled. How many only children we got here? Any only children? I know y'all not spoiled, right? I know you're not spoiled like me. But I was real spoiled. I was very spoiled, okay? When I was 10 years old, my mother got diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she died in 5 months. And I was an only child. I was a 10-year-old child. And what happened there, guys, is I had a wound in my spirit, okay? And Satan took advantage of that wound. And a lot of y'all were young, and y'all have things that have happened to you in your life. Y'all have had some wounds that have happened to you in your life, some things that have happened. Some of y'all may not have a father here. Some of y'all may be of a divorced home here. Some of y'all may have been through some, your parents have really got some, alcoholic home, stuff like that, abusive home. And there was that wound as an early child. And the lie that the devil said, that if God loved you, then He wouldn't have taken your mother. And see, I was a 10-year-old boy. I didn't know how to defend that, you know. But I believe right then, I made a decision, and I didn't even realize that I was a young boy, that I don't want to have anything to do with this God. Because if he loved me, how did he take my mother? And this, guys, is why we need the Word. In situations in your life, when you think that God is not there, that he does not understand, that he doesn't love you. John 3:6, God so loved. This is how Jesus defeated the enemy in the desert when he was tempted. He tempted him with a word. Man, you throw this word at him, he can't do anything. Nothing. He has no power over you. He is defeated. He is under your feet in Jesus' name. Under your feet. And I know men, I'm going to talk to the men here, the boys here. There is a lie from the pits of hell that says that being a Christian is being weak. When Jesus Christ went to that cross 2,000 years ago to die for all humanity's sin, that was not an act of weakness. That was an act of strength. And that's the lie the devil wants us to think, man. You know what? Being a Christian is being passive. Let me tell you something. Being a man of God is being a slam-out warrior. Because when you're saved, guys, you enter a battlefield. And we were created to have a loving relationship with an authentic God. And what happens is that we're lied to in the world system, and we start worshiping other things called idols. Mine was alcohol, mine was drugs, and I'm about to get into that. And we start worship these things because maybe we don't know the truth. Maybe we've been in church, but we've never heard the truth, because the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. So we got to know who we are, and we got to know that what he did for us. Because let me tell you something, guys. Great worshipers make great warriors. Because right now, every one of y'all are a generation that God wants to raise up. And I'm not talking about hoo-hoo macho stuff. I'm talking about being a spirit-filled, full of power, full of love, full of joy, blessed to be a blessing. Wherever you go, demons tremble. Wherever you go to school, wherever you go out in Noxipeta, wherever you live, wherever you tread foot, I mean, people, demons are nervous because you're in presence. Because let me tell you something, what's inside of you is so much greater than it's in that world. You know, and once, young people, we understand that power of Christ on the inside of us, we release that faith. Once we pour this word on the inside of us, and we start being supernaturally blessed, and we start seeing God doing miracles in our life, and we start incorporating God in our studies, we start incorporating God in our athletics, we start incorporating God in our relationships, and he puts his super on our natural, and he takes us to a level that we could never do by ourselves. I get fired up because I was dead 5 years ago. People had given up all hope on me, but Christ set me free. And when you get that taste of Christ, and when you understand his love for you, that right there is what causes you to love him back and want to do his will. Back to 10 years old, Mom, you know, she died. I was 10 years old. My dad was dealing with a lot of pain, you know, as I was too. And I was left by myself a lot, okay? And Dad was out, you know, he was, I don't fault him at all. You know, I've forgiven, but he was out doing, you know, and left me at the house by myself. And he was doing a lot of drinking and stuff and just trying to deal with his pain. And there wasn't another reality base because I was an only child. And that's when the devil can really work on us, guys, and we isolate in girls. Because we have a tendency to want to isolate when we're going through stuff, don't we? We have a tendency to not, you know, want to be around our godly friends. We kind of want to draw to ourselves, you know. When I was 14 years old, I took my first drink. I was at a reception of one of my best friends. His sister got married, and I drank champagne, and I blacked out the first time I drank. And I can remember, guys, thinking, you know, maybe this is something I don't want to do, I need to do, because I loved it. And I loved it. And the reason I loved it is because always on the inside, I felt like I was never good enough. I felt like I don't measure up. I felt like there was something wrong with me because I had that wound. I had that wound that only the Holy Spirit can feel. And when I got alcohol, I mean, I'll be honest with y'all, alcohol did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Man, I mean, I felt when I had that alcohol inside of me, I felt like I had power. All right? And that was the first lie, OK? Okay. The second time I drank, I got drunk. And that was on I think it was Jack Daniels. It was in Destin, Florida. And I went to a friend of mine. His dad had a condo. I got drunk, made a fool out of myself. I almost got thrown in jail, 14 years old. That year started a downfall. Mom died when I was in fourth grade, okay? And as we know, when we hit, you know, seventh and eighth and ninth grade, some of y'all are maybe there or older, that's when hormones start really happening, and that's when peer pressure starts really kicking in, and that's when we really start dealing with stuff. When I was in ninth grade, going into ninth grade, I had probably about a 3.5 GPA. I started smoking dope in the ninth grade. Went down to like about a 2.0, lost interest in sports, even though I still played them, and just had no ambition, but I just lived to get high because all I wanted to do is, guys, is just stop the hurting. I heard it, but you never knew it because on the outside, I was popular rich. Man, I had a pretty girlfriend. I was popular. But on the inside, guys, I was dying because I did not know Jesus, and I had a wound that could only be filled through him. And I did not know how to reach out for help. Because the lie I thought was, God, if you love me, why did you take my mother? If you're so good, why? And again, that's why we got to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right, I almost got sent to military school in ninth grade. All right, I'll tell y'all this funny story. I was dating a girl, and she called me. We were supposed to go out that night, guys. You know how it is, guys. When you ask a girl out, you get, you know, pretty pumped up. And, you know, you're putting on like three or four shirts and doing your hair. And I look pretty good. You know, and you're sitting there, and you're trying to get everything right. And you're like, Mom, how's this, you know, Dad, how's this look? And you're getting ready for that. And during that process of getting ready, she called me and told me she had to babysit her little brother, so she couldn't go. And that just kind of really made me angry right there. You know, what do you mean babysitting rather than going out with me? Anybody feeling me up in here? Don't you know who you're talking to? See, I didn't say I didn't have a big ego. I had a huge ego with a very low self-esteem. And a lot of times when your self-esteem is low, you try to project and be something, you know, to compensate for that low self-esteem. So anyway, me and my buddy got drunk, and we were drinking wine coolers. And we came to a baseball park, and I saw her there, and I made a very bad scene. I was drunk. I basically, you know, when a lot of people who knew me and knew my parents, basically just cussed her out, to be honest with you, and this was, I was under the influence of alcohol, and I got her little brother, and we were playing around. He was probably about eight or something. And we were playing around, and I kind of had him on my shoulder, and I fell back, and he hit the pavement, and he almost died. He had a major concussion. It's by the grace of God that he lived. He was only about probably 50 pounds. And at that time, I was probably 170 pounds, 160 pounds, 15-year-old kid. And he was in the hospital for, you know, about 5 days. And I remember the shame I felt, you know, having to go see his dad and see him. And that was a little nudge right there, letting me know, you know, Rich, there's something else here. There's something else for you. You got a problem. And I don't want y'all to hear that alcohol was the problem, because it wasn't. Alcohol was a symptom when I got drunk of the problem. The problem was that I was separated from God, that I had a wound on the inside of me. The problem was that I had all that fear and all that hurt and all that pain. Anyway, I sobered up, and my parents actually wanted to send me to military school, but luckily it didn't happen. So, and I got into high school, and I know I don't look like it now, but in high school I was actually, I played junior high football and basketball. And I played tight end and defensive end in football. And the coach from Meridian High at that time tried to, you know, said, Rich, you know, you'll never make it as big in basketball as you can in football. You know, because there's more players, but at that time, like I said, I was about 160 pounds. I was 6 foot, and when I thought about hitting 250 pound seniors, you know, in 2 days, or shooting three pointers in the gym, I picked basketball. All right. Now I want y'all to hear me something. I want y'all to hear me clear right here. Okay. I worked on my game religiously. There's nothing wrong with that. I committed to the game. I went to camps. I was Division I prospect. All right, I was 6'4", 180-pound guard, white guy. Okay, that's kind of rare. That's kind of rare sometimes in Meridian High. Only white dude on the team. Okay, and I could play. Okay, I could play. I could get up. I could play. I was a good 3-point shooter. But what I did, I made basketball my god. Okay, I did not have a balance. All right. So what I did is a pattern in my life that whatever I go into, that's my nature. I go into it 100%. Okay. And what I had done, it made that my all in all. If I played good, I was okay. This and that. Anyway, my senior year, I got hurt halfway through my senior year, and I got a really bad sprained ankle, severe sprain. And I had 3 scholarship offers. One was to Delta State. One was Belhaven. And I chose to go to junior college in New Mexico and play in a league that had the top teams in the nation, except the team that I was going to. And the summer after my senior year, I drank every single day because I had not met my selfish ambitions goals. You know, I can remember thinking, you know, I didn't get a D1 scholarship. I just got a JUCO scholarship. And I drank, and I went from like 180 to 215 pounds. Showed up at college, they recruited a guard, and I come in out of shape. But anyway, when I was out there in New Mexico, I met a whole new set of friends. Anyway, long story short, played 2 years out of there. I got on steroids. Okay, and in between there, I joined the Marine Corps. Okay, the reserves, all right. And I was in San Diego, went across the border, and got some steroids. Anyway, got kicked out of school for the steroids. And came home. I was 20 years old, and I was living at home with my parents. And my dad and my mom said, "Rich, you can live here as long as you don't use drugs." And I said, "Okay." Laid down basketball completely. Then I went headlong into this. See, I was always looking to fill something up. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying to do your best, but I was filling this in the place of God. All right. Guys, and from the time I was 20, I went through a period when I came off steroids that I could literally, I went through anxiety attacks. I couldn't even leave the house for 4 or 5 months. I was so depressed. I was suicidal. And that was God crying out to me. And I went back to the church that I grew up at and the pastor that was there when I was little. And I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time since I had been a child. And God was drawing me in. And I knew at that time that He was speaking to me. But I walked away. And I was 20 years old. Okay? We're going to fast forward 16 years to the age of 36. Okay? I had been in 6 rehabs. I had tried to take my life. One night I got drunk. I drank about a whole fifth of something. And, no, actually, I took some pills, and after I took those pills, I was going to go drink a fifth of whiskey, and that would have killed me. And the girl that I was kind of seeing drove up, and that was God right there. I went to the hospital. They said that I would have lost my liver, you know, had I not been such a big guy. And God, again, His grace was there, you know. And just numerous of opportunities. I'm not going to go into a war story. Just things that, driving drunk, just doing things that, and I was, guys, I was lost. I was looking for something. I was so lost. And there, when in March of 2007, guys, that's when I ended up at Righteous Oaks. And I was so broke down. And I remember, I hated it. But I knew I had to stay there. Because if I left, I know that I would have died. And that's how far that my disease of addiction had taken me, you know. Am I saying that if you pick up a drink or smoke marijuana, you're going to end up where I end up? No, I'm not. You know, what I am saying is that you don't have to go through some of the things that I went through, that you can start living this good life now. Because the 5 years that I've been saved have been the most amazing years of my life. And it's like I've been saying, I said, man, what was I doing? You know, why didn't I get this earlier? You know, And I told my dad that one time. And Dad said, son, you didn't waste those years because God's going to be able to use you to help people that maybe you wouldn't have been able to help, you know. But I've been homeless to the disease of addiction. I got kicked out of a treatment center in Florida. I was living in a homeless house, abandoned house with a crack addict, a heroin addict, and an alcoholic. This is real. This is little Richie Miller who grew up in church. This is little Richie Miller who heard the gospel. This is little Richie who knew there was a God but did not have a personal relationship with a God. And this is the power of sin, y'all. Sin will take you down. Because what was greater inside of me, I wanted to do right. I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to stop drinking. I wanted to stop smoking dope. I wanted to stop doing these things. But what had a hold of me was greater. Because that's the power of darkness until you come to Christ. And when I came to Christ and I found him, I was at that treatment center 4 months. And I got down on my knees, guys. And I said, God, I said, either you kill me or you change me. And I felt right there that he set his spirit inside of me. And he filled me up. And he gave me that new life. But I had to come to that place. That place that we all have to get to. That we're able to surrender those parts of our life to Jesus. And you don't have to be homeless. You don't have to be in rehab. You can be right where you're at. You know? And you can realize. And if you realize that you're forgiven, if you realize you're righteous, then that's going to cause you to come to Jesus. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here, then I'm going to close. Colossians 2, verse 6, it says, and remember, guys, we're talking about, you know, the power of Jesus on the inside of us. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Not about just being saved. It's, man, God wants us to walk in him. God wants to experience that power. He wants us to experience that joy. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. And guys, that's what religion does. It tries to bring us down. And what faith does, it tries to bring us up. And that's why when we read this word and we start believing this word, it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead boldly. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Y'all are complete in Christ. Y'all have all the power under your feet. I'm going to skip down to verse 13. And it says, you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to Christ, to the cross. Now, I'm going to say this scripture, we're going to close. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them on the cross. And man, that's what Jesus did on that cross. He basically defeated the devil openly. He said, let me show you something. You can't kill me. Death can't hold me. And you thought you put me here. I submitted my will to go here so I can bring many sons to glory. So we can have a generation raise up. So that's the thing, that all that power that the devil has was taken away at the cross. And I don't know what you need tonight, but I do know this, that if you bring yourself to the cross, he is there. And if you don't know the Lord tonight and you feel God is working on your heart, some people, I just pray that you just let the Holy Spirit have your way. You know, y'all are heirs to the throne. Y'all are heirs to the throne, sons and daughters of the King. As we worship here, just if you feel God making and you want to make a decision, come up and one of us will pray with you. You know, let's just maybe just kind of lay it down tonight. You know, stop fighting, man. Let's just rest in Jesus. You know, because greater is he is in us than he is in the world. God bless y'all.
For more information, information on Breakthrough Ministries, follow us on Twitter at BreakthroughMI or visit our blog at www.breakthroughministry.wordpress.com.